Yeah.
Actually, this is an interesting question someone asked me today, and it was actually really interesting to me. And it was basically because on paper, like being a Buddhist monk, well, doesn't on paper is not that much. It seems kind of like selfish and like it's not doing that much for other people.
Yeah.
And I guess the core of that, I was thinking about that. It's really interesting because I don't believe that, but it's still an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of strikes what is the most meaningful impact like Buddhist monks have on the community. What do you think that is?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's a really interesting question because I think particularly from a say Western Protestant perspective in particular, and America's fundamentally a Protestant culture, you got to be doing something, and it's based on works, and so that so then yeah, on paper then it looks like yeah we're not doing anything, and but you know I think one of the things that is lacking are real clear examples of people who are living a peaceful life, a harmonious life, a harmless life, and that example is something that is certainly worth bringing into the world and being here, and as well as that opportunity for again that you create a place or a space that people can enter into and participate in, and because I think the general perception of of a monastery in Western culture is one of inaccessibility, sort of walls, or like many people, even though we've been here in Redwood Valley for 20 years, and still the locals will ask, you know, oh, can you go there? Oh, can you go in? And because that's the assumption, is they're monasteries or places that you can't actually go into, and that's very different in Thai culture and in Southeast Asia. Monasteries are very much a part of the kind of the web of the fabric of the society, of the culture. They're community centers, and that's also why forest monasteries are important, because then it does step out of the whole community, communal, village impact, and then people can step out from that. But it doesn't mean people can't go there. And people do go there. They're going there all the time. So a place like, I remember the very first time that I went to stay with Ajahn Chah, my teacher. He was fairly soon after I arrived I was just visiting. I was taking a temporary ordination just to learn a bit more about Buddhism. That was 40 odd years ago. Because similarly, that like I was living at a monastery, practicing meditation, studying, and one of the monks asked me, "Are you going to ordain?" And it was sort of, to me, it was a strange question. You know, it was no. God was just traveling. And no way I could ordain. I couldn't live like this for the rest of my life. And because that's my perception of, okay, a monastery, you go to a monastery, you have to live there for the rest of your life. I mean, who would want to do that? And so then he just looked at me funny and sort of, no, I mean, it's ordinary in Thailand to just, you know, for a month or 3 months, 4 months, that's really ordinary, just take a temporary ordination. So I thought, oh, 3 or 4 months, I could do that. So that was the extent of my commitment. But then it was close to Bangkok. And then I started hearing about forest monasteries. I said, oh, okay, I'd like to check that out. So hearing about Ajahn Chah, so I'll go and visit that monastery. There was something that was pulling me. And then shortly after I arrived, it was a full moon in February. And in those days, that was the time when there weren't that many branch monasteries in that day, but that, still there was starting to be these satellite monasteries affiliated with Ajahn Chah, maybe about 15, 16 of them. And so they would gather, and then all the lay people would gather. So there was, gosh, there was a couple hundred monks, and then all the lay people, hundreds and hundreds. And I was sort of, wow, this is amazing. But and it was something that was quite, you know, you could sort of see, this is really vibrant. And then you see on a weekly basis, the lay community would be, you know, coming. One, they come every day anyway. Not numbers, not so much, but on a weekly basis, they're coming and listening to teachings, chanting, meditating, spending the night in the monastery, and then leaving the next morning, so that you get quite a large number of people in the monastery. So it's like, and so it's just freely available. And even say like a place like, right now, Wat Nanachat, that's an international monastery, branch monastery of Ajahn Chah's. And on a on a regular basis, there's probably, I don't know, on a daily basis, 40, 50 people show up every day, plug in the morning, and then on the weekends, of course, a lot more. And then if it's a lunar observance day, then you make 100, 200 people come and meditate, practice together, and it's quite... it's very much accessible to whoever wants to come. So that it's like creating a sanctuary that people can enter into and be supported by. And then when you create a sanctuary, you create a peaceful environment that is open to anybody, and people can come and benefit from that. Because even here, where it's still a bit of a strange, culturally, it's still a strange concept. We get, and people do come, and certainly on the weekends and on the lunar observance nights, teaching days. Tomorrow afternoon is a regular teaching. We used to be Saturday nights, and we moved it now with the new hall, then we can accommodate people. So moved it to Sunday afternoon. And there are probably numbers of people who easily tripled every week. So coming, it's not huge numbers, but it's, you know, it's what it's available to anybody who wants. And then people come, and you know, there's many people come and just walk the trails, because it's available, and people have, you know, something peaceful about it. People feel that. So it's a gift to people, and they're not really asking for anything in return, which that in itself is a big a counterpoint or a alternative. Because just generally in society and culture, there's such a one, especially America, is such a competitive culture, and then you know, if they're not competing, then you sort of, you know, what's the trick here, you know? But it's an open generosity. So it says within the for people to see that there's alternatives in their life.